Greetings. You are listening live to the Scriptures Alone Bible School here on BBS Radio. The Scriptures Alone Bible School is a Bible teaching ministry where the Scriptures alone are all authority and are taught correctly by Martin Richling. Therefore, with King James Bibles open and believing hearts, hearken now unto the words of God.
Greetings. It is Wednesday, the 19th of January, 2011, and I am Martin Richling, your Bible teacher for the Scriptures Alone Bible School here live on bbsradio.com. All right. Now, get Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we're going to look at our subject tonight. Is hell real or just a myth? Is hell real or just a myth? What a topic that is for a Wednesday, huh? Hump day. People are thinking, you know, I'm in the middle of the week. I'm just barely getting through to the weekend, and I got to listen about is hell real or just a myth? Well, you're going to like it. Okay, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, as you're getting that in your King James Bibles, I remind you of our website, thescripturesalonebibleschool.net. Thescripturesalonebibleschool.net, that is our website. I encourage you strongly to go there. Check out the various things we have there. We even have a thing called the Daily Oracle. I put a little message out there, and it's usually posted sometime early in the morning, so get up, have your coffee, and learn some things profitable to start your day. All righty, now, Luke chapter 16. Let's talk about that for a moment now. Is hell real or just a myth? Now, as you can see, I trust in just a couple of studies we've had together that I approach the Bible the Lord's way. In other words, when I know who the listening audience is, I have people interested in hearing the truth, and I just take the scriptures and allow your free will to flow freely, and I'm going to present the facts as God presents them. And why would we talk about such an ominous subject as that? In a world filled with so much pain, sorrow, misery, gloom, and despair, must we talk about hell? Well, you know what? You'll understand, and from the perspective of why I do want to talk about that from the scriptures and answer that question, is hell real or just a myth? It's because if you'll understand some things about that, you see, don't be afraid of the truth, right? Just go after it. You want to not fear truth, but you want to get into it, as BBS Radio quotes all the time. And that's exactly what we want to do. Now, I can tell you, I was afraid of hell. I mean, who isn't? Just the very word itself, it lends aura, it gives mystery, it gives wonderment, it conjures up images of Dante's Inferno. And where is it? What does it have to do with? Who really does go there? Does it exist? Is there a devil? Is there not? Are there demons there now? Is the devil down in there now, or is he going there? What is it all about? What is it? Well, the only time whenever you have spiritual questions regarding your soul, you know, we should really consider and look at what the Word of God has to say about the issue so that we can know for certain what we're believing. And we then have the free will choice whether to believe what we hear or to reject what we hear and opt to go with something else or nothing else for that matter. But there is only one time in the scriptures where there is given clearly a description by the Lord Jesus Christ of a person, actually several people who were down in hell. And if you don't understand the passage, it's going to seem kind of confusing. So we're going to look at it in Luke chapter 16. And then after we look at it, I want to show you some things in the Apostle Paul's epistles, because I find it very interesting that in the message that God gave the dispensation of grace in which we live for us today, our apostle, Paul, never one time even said the word hell. Well, does that mean it doesn't exist? Well, we're going to see. Luke chapter 16, let's look at verse 19. Luke 16, 19, the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, when he was here, he starts to tell a story, and it's a true story of what about some people, and especially a certain rich man who had died and went to hell. And there was also this beggar named Lazarus who went there also. So let's read about it, Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he did what? He lift up his eyes. Now let's stop there for a moment and go back and take a look at the passage. So I want you to understand some things from the beginning. In verse 19, we never get the name of the rich man. When the Lord Jesus Christ tells this story, there is complete evidence right here. I mean, if you just look at the words on the page, that either we can have the choice now to believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said was true, or we can reject it as a myth. That's your choice. So when the question is asked, is hell real or just a myth? That's your choice. Now, I'm not going to answer that for you. I can't answer that for you, because your choice is going to determine whether you believe it or not. Okay? But I'm just simply going to tell you what the Bible says about it. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Obviously, he has a pretty good life. Contrast to verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, this man was a beggar which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, the reason you find in the Old Testament, if you were to read there, that Lazarus was laid at the gate of this rich man is because God, through Moses, gave instructions for poor people where they should go to at times obtain food, help, and assistance from their fellow brethren of the nation Israel. That's why he was at his gate full of sores. So obviously he's in some physical bad condition here. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now watch what happens. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, who's Abraham? Abraham is a person from the Old Testament. He had lived many hundreds of years previous to this, and he had already long since died. And Abraham was down in hell. He was a believer. He was a friend of God, and he too was a rich man. He was rich in cattle and silver and gold. So obviously his riches did not cause him any problems, and after he had died. And it says clearly, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So the interesting things here is that Abraham is very much alive, and then it says the rich man also died and was buried. Now we have Lazarus, who is carried by the angels. That means after you die, there is something of substance for the angels to carry. Okay? In other words, you are not your body. So many times, now think for a moment. Do we not think so many times we are our bodies? I mean, but think about it. If, God forbid, you had a horrible car accident and you lost an arm or a leg, would you not still be you? Sure. You're not your body. Your body is the house in which you reside. And what you are a soul. Man is a living soul. And the thing about our soul is it will live forever somewhere. This rich man dies and he goes down into hell. But you see, down in hell also are the believers, Abraham, and obviously Lazarus, because Lazarus is with Abraham, laid in his bosom by the angels. So I find that interesting. Down in hell, I have Abraham, who is clearly a believer in God Almighty. And we have the rich man. We don't know what he believed, but he's down in hell. But look at where he's at in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Now, it doesn't say he was being tormented. It says he was actually in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So this rich man in the torments, he can actually see Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. But notice it says afar off. but he can't be that far where he cannot see him. And watch what he says in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Why? For I am tormented in this flame. Now, here's our choices. Either the Bible's a myth, and this isn't true, or the Lord Jesus Christ who spoke this wasn't telling you the truth, and the Bible recorded it accurately, therefore the Bible is true, and just simply recorded something that the Lord Jesus Christ said and wasn't true. Now, I don't want to go that route. That doesn't seem too wise. Or the other choice we can have is that this is true. There are your choices. But either way, is hell real or a myth? It is recorded here. And this man, this rich man, says he was in torments, and he said something to Abraham. And then he says he was tormented in this flame. So either the rich man said it, or he did not. There's the choice. We don't have to get into any doctrine regarding it. That's not what I'm here. I'm not teaching you on the doctrines of hell. I'm simply asking the question, is it real, or is it just a myth? So you have to ask yourself something. Is it? Now, think about your answer. That's in your privacy of your own heart. Just think about your answer. Your answer, okay, will never change what's written here. Let's say I believe it. Well, if I believe it, it remains the same, the words on the page. If I don't believe it, the words on the page remain the same. All right? Now let's go on and just finish it out and see what this man says. He's tormented in this flame. Now let's be realistic here. Okay? Who in the world, in their right mind, I have never in my life ever even heard of or thought of someone who would willingly choose, after all the information delivered unto them, actually make a conscious choice to say, you know what? When I die, I want to go to hell. And I want to burn in flame and be tormented. Who would think that? Who in their right mind would say, I want to do this? Now, I've heard people mockingly say, you know what? If I die and go to hell, it's okay. All my friends are going to be there. Well, okay, they've said that, true. But let's ask yourself a question. Do you really believe that there's anyone, all of the many different religions in the world and the many different teachings out there, and let's take one specific quote-unquote religion, so-called Christianity. Let's look at that and all of the divisions within it. Okay? Do you really think that anybody in any religion, whether they believe in God or don't, wants to, at some point in their existence, whether it's in a soul, whether it's in a body in a soul or anything, do you really think that they want to suffer burning, tormented in fire? No one does. There is no one who wants that. Okay? So what do we do? Hell is a scary thought. And you know what? It's designed to be that way in the Bible. As the old preacher once said, it's better to be hell scared than hell scorched. A lot of truth to that. So you don't want to, I mean, nobody wants to. Nobody in their right mind. And I'm sure people are going through life cleaving and holding on to certain beliefs that they think somehow, some way they're going to avoid it. Somehow, some way they're not going to be there. Somehow, some way it's not going to really happen to them. So is hell real, or is hell just a myth? Well, if you believe the words on the page, to this rich man it was very real. And watch what Abraham says to him after he says, I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now look at that verse. I can understand why people in the tormented side of hell, where all the flames are, would want to come over to paradise, where Abraham was, comforted. You can understand that, but why would someone leave where Abraham was and go over to where the torment side was? Well, did you ever see a mother run into a burning building? Did you ever see it? To save her children, run right into the flames. I witnessed it as a police officer. Yep, that can happen. So there is this great gulf fixed to keep people separated. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So according to the words on the page of a book, call it archaic, call it a fairy tale, call it anything you want, this man, this rich man, said he was tormented in the flames, and it was a place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now watch this. Abraham said to this rich man, you know what? They have a Bible. Let them listen to the Bible. They have Moses and the prophets. Moses and the prophets were dead. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They'll change their mind. If someone came up from the dead, send them to my five brethren up there, okay? Well, verse 31, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, I'm not here to teach all of the doctrine of the passage. That's not the point. That's not the question. What I'm simply asking, the most simplest of questions, is hell real or just a myth? And I really want you to answer that in the privacy of your own heart. Okay? Just answer that. I just read in the Bible that a story of what the Lord Jesus Christ said happened. Now ask yourself this, and while you're thinking about your answer, think of this. How come when the Bible reads parts like this, it kind of scares you? I mean, why does that happen? Did you ever wonder about that? How can a book cause such fear? It's just a book. Let's say it's not true. Okay? But why does this cause fear? I don't understand that. You see what I mean? But I do understand it. Now, in the same lines, what happens, according to the Bible, now let's just go back and see what the Bible says. The Bible says clearly that there is a literal place called hell. We could look at all the verses and spend many, many hours looking at them. It says it's in the heart of the earth. And in time past, it had two sections. One was torment, where flames were. The other part is where the Old Testament believers were, like Abraham, Lazarus, and others, comforted until the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his burial. And then after the Lord Jesus Christ himself went down to the paradise side of hell, as he told the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Lord Jesus Christ goes down to the paradise side of hell. And just see, hell just simply means in the heart of the earth. It's a place. And in time past, it had two parts to it. But now all that's there, because paradise has since, for the believer, gone to the third heaven. Because after the Lord Jesus Christ dies, buried, and resurrected, he goes up into paradise. And now when a believer dies, this is just all according to the Bible, he goes up to the third heaven. Way above the clouds, you got outer space, and above and beyond that is the third heaven. And that's where the believer goes, instantly upon his death. And that all that's left down in hell now is the torments. So, is hell real or just a myth? Here's another question for you to ponder. Can you afford to take that gamble that it is, and you don't want to listen to it? Let's say it is. Whoa, who in the world wants to go there? Who in the world wants to be tormented in flame? And then why would you be anyways? Let's say it is real. Well, why is there torment and flame? Well, what's in the heart of the earth? You've seen volcanoes and what comes out. Well, who wouldn't you be snuffed out? Wouldn't you just be like burnt up then? No. Okay, I'm going to show you something now. Go with me to the book of the Revelation. Okay, the book of the Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. Now, like I said, let's see some other facts just about hell. Now, the Apostle Paul, all through Romans through Philemon and all of his epistles, never even mentions the word hell. That's because, according to the Bible, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have, there's hell, and that's where people who don't believe what God tells them to believe today, they go there. That's according to the Bible. Now, as they are there burning, waiting judgment, they will go to the great white throne judgment, which we read about last time. And then watch what happens, though, at the great white throne judgment, because this is very interesting regarding hell. Now, hang in there with me. I mean, you may not be liking this message so much today, but you know what? There's a lot of things in life that are told us that we don't like. I had some things told to me today that I particularly didn't like. But that's all right. Nothing changes anything. Still here. Okay, Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So people in hell wait for this day. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Notice, hell itself delivers up. It just kind of spews out and delivers right up there at the great white throne judgment everyone who's in hell. And now look at verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So where does hell end up? Hell itself, the place. It ends up in what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Now hell itself has fire in it, everlasting fire. But hell itself then, the actual geographical locatable place, is tossed into the lake of fire. Everything in it goes there. Now, who was hell made for? The scripture says it was not even made for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, the book of Matthew says. It wasn't even intended for man. Now, I want to ask you something. Is hell real or just a myth? Well, why then, if it's just a myth, have you ever read something that you consider to be a myth and it scared you? Why does it scare you if it does? Now, let me tell you something. Go to Romans chapter 3. If it doesn't cause any fear in you, there is a problem. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, if you are truly, if you have no fear of hell, if you have no fear of death, if you have no fear of God judging you, if you don't even believe in God, there really isn't much I can, I can never convince you. You've already chosen that. But I want you to consider some things. One thing you'd have to agree, you're going to die. You are going to die. I mean, do we agree with that? What happens then after you die? So, I mean, do you really, you know, the thing about death, when your eyes close in death, you're going to be all by yourself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, we're going to die. And we're going to face it alone. Do you really want to take that step into the next world, not knowing? Do you really want to go through your entire life with that kind of always haunting you, that not knowing, that wondering, that constant searching and striving and, you know, is it out there? Is it real? I mean, is it not? I mean, what does this preacher say? What does this guy say? What, you know, wouldn't it be nice just to know absolutely for certain that you weren't going to hell? I mean, think about what I'm talking about here. Just think clearly for a moment. The Bible offers salvation from it. So, you know, you don't even have to go there. Now, let me just be quite frank with you. If it means anything, after reading through this Bible over 150 times and still reading through it once a month, I can assure you, based on the authority of this wonderful book, that hell is very real. It is extremely real. It is a place where God is going to punish the transgressors of his laws while they wait for the great white throne judgment. And then he's going to take all the transgressors of his laws, called sinners, and he's going to throw them into the lake of fire. He's going to cast them in there after he sentences them for their lifetime of sin. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, why am I telling you that? Why? Well, it's real simple. I believe that sincerely, and I don't want anything like that to happen to you. I don't want to see anything like that happen to you. Now, let me show you who else experienced hell. Another person experienced hell, and let him tell us about it. Okay? Go to the book of Psalms, if you have a Bible, and we're going to look at Psalm chapter 22. Now, you may or may not understand some of these things, but it is a beautiful section of the Scriptures, and I'm going to show you something about hell. Was hell real to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he told the story of that rich man in it. But watch this in Psalm 22, written 1,000 years before he was crucified, approximately, and the psalmist writes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he cried that from the cross. He did. He did. And he said seven things at Calvary as he was hanged, crucified. And we're going to go over that one time, Lord willing, the seven things the Lord said as he was hanging there, crucified. But let's look at this one thing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God. I cry in the daytime, and that is because for the first 3 hours of his crucifixion, it was day. The sun was out, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent, for the last 3 hours of his crucifixion, there was darkness over all the earth, the Bible says, and that is because the sun itself was darkened. You see, when the sun was darkened, and over all the earth was dark, where did the power of the sun go that caused it to be dark? Keep reading. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ knew why God forsook him. He's holy. He can't look upon sin. His Father, he can't look on iniquity. His eyes are purer eyes than he cannot even behold iniquity. And then he says in verse 4, our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried in thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But watch what the Lord Jesus Christ says about himself. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. You know, there's only one time in the Bible here where you're referred to as a worm. And I'm going to read it to you in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 is the verse most quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's quoting the last verse for you in the book of Isaiah. You see, when I want you to understand is hell real or just a myth, I want to show you about someone who is so absolutely caring for you. He believed hell. The Lord Jesus Christ believed in hell, so much so, watch what he did. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Watch this. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps repeating himself over and over and over. And yet, when he was hanged, crucified, he says, but I am a worm and no man. And let me show you why he said that. Go with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the garden of Gethsemane, just prior to his crucifixion, he knew he was going to be crucified. And I'm going to show you how real hell was to him. Okay, when he's in the book of Matthew, and like I said, just before he's going out there, and he's in the garden as he was praying to his Father, there was something that caused him such fear, such terror, that he didn't even want to face it. Okay? He did not even want to face it. It was so horrible and so terrifying. Look in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 26. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. There was a cup that the Lord Jesus Christ did not want to drink. What cup is he talking about? Go with me to the book of Ephesians. Now, this is going to get really good here, because it all has to do with our question, is hell real or just a myth? In Hebrews chapter 5, and get Revelation chapter 14. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. Hebrews is just a few books before that. Okay? Revelation chapter 14. You notice how tonight, I mean, I'm kind of in an ominous tone, because I'm trying to convey unto you the absolute seriousness out of my great heart of concern and love for you, because it is that serious. And we're almost done with all these evil things, because it's going to end up beautifully. Okay? So hang in there. Hebrews chapter 5. The Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in the passage we just read in the Garden of Eden in verse 7. I'm sorry, the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Gethsemane in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that would be his Father, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. The Lord Jesus Christ feared this cup. He begged God his Father that he didn't have to drink it, but whatever his will was, he would do it. And here's the cup that he feared. It's talked about in Revelation 14. It says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. That cup that the Lord Jesus Christ saw in the Garden of Gethsemane was the cup of God's full indignation against sin. God is holy, and he hates sin, and sin must be punished. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in complete love and obedience for his Father, he sees this cup in the spiritual world, and he knows he's going to have to drink every drop of it. He's going to have to pay for sins. And that he knows what that means. So as he was hanged, crucified, the sun became darkened for the last 3 hours as he was there. And the whole earth was darkened. The sun did not have any light, and the whole earth becomes dark, the Gospel of Luke says. Do you know what happened with the power of the sun and all of its fury and wrath? That big boiling lake of fire was placed then on the soul of Jesus Christ. And that is why one of the other seven things he said as he was hanged, crucified, he said, "I thirst." Now, who does that remind you of? Do you remember the rich man who was in hell said, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." He says his soul was made an offering for sin. The book of Isaiah says, "The soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, took his wrath and placed it upon the soul of his son to punish sins." So is hell real or just a myth? To the Lord Jesus Christ, hell was very real. As he was hanged, crucified, burning there for you and for me. Now watch this. In Hebrews chapter 6, you know what it says? Do you remember? I'm sure you've seen movies like Jesus of Nazareth or some of the TV-made movies they've made about him. Around Easter time, they usually come out. Okay, that time of year that the nations and the heathen recognize as a time of year, Easter. But you know what? Do you ever see in there, as the movie goes on and they showed him before his crucifixion, I'm sure you've seen pictures of him with the crown of thorns on his head. You know that? And he had this crown of thorns, and it was made out of thorns and briars. And you know what the gospel says and the great glad tidings as recorded back in the book of Isaiah regarding this? It says he was rejected of men. That the Lord Jesus Christ, clearly we would have to agree that he was rejected and despised of man. I mean, what do you think he was murdered for? Because he was the most popular guy on the earth? No. He was despised and rejected, and he was nigh unto cursing. I mean, he was cursed. People cursed him. They spit in his face. They brutalized him. He was scourged. And the Bible says he was made a curse for us, because whoever's hanged on a tree, the Old Testament declares, is cursed by God. And so you remember that, and look at this passage with me then in Hebrews chapter 6. There's a spiritual principle that's true from Genesis to Revelation, and here's what it says in verse 8. "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Was not the Lord Jesus Christ brought forth by Pontius Pilate bearing thorns and briars? Was he not rejected of men?" Yes, he was. "And is nigh unto cursing." He was very near unto cursing. "Whose end is to be," what is the last word of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8? "Whose end is to be burned." The Lord Jesus Christ, since he was born into this world, knew that at the end of the road for him, the end of his life, would be one of hanging crucified on a cross, paying, rejected, and paying for our sins, despised of men, cursed of God, forsaken by God, as God took the wrath of his justice that demanded this wrath to be placed on the soul of his son. And here's the amazing thing about what I'm telling you. The Lord Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. He never sinned. He never broke God, his Father's laws. So what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Is hell real or just a myth? You better believe it, and you better mark it down, that to the Lord Jesus Christ, hell was very real. Not only when he was here and preached for 3 years, but it was very real as he tasted death for every man, the Bible says. As he drank of that cup, full and deep, for you and for me. And you know why he did it? Because he doesn't want you to find out the hard way that hell is real. To the Lord Jesus Christ, hell was very real and still is very real. Hell is the temporary housing place for all people of every age since wicked Cain, who murdered his brother Abel and never believed any type of salvation God had for him. That's why he brought of the fruit of the ground and of his own deeds. And Abel brought the blood. Okay? So from wicked Cain to the last person ever who rejects what God has for them in whatever age they're living, hell will become instantly real the moment their eyes close in death. And again, I interject here, your free will. You don't have to believe anything I said. To even say it like that just breaks my heart. But I respect your free will and the option you have to choose. But let's now sum it up for at least, we have about, 12, 13 minutes left? Let's talk about it from a different perspective. Is hell real or just a myth? I'm here to tell you. After a thorough examination of the Holy Scriptures, hell is very real. It is in the heart of the earth, and it is a place where sinners go immediately upon death who have rejected what God has for them. Okay? It is a place where you will burn there in tormented flames, waiting the great white throne judgment, where you will then be sentenced for your lifetime of sin, where you will then be cast into the lake of fire. Because since you reject God's payment for you, he has no choice. You don't want to have anything to do with what he's provided. Wait, who says you don't, right? Gotcha. So let's back up and talk about that. You see, let's don't just jump to that. Let's see what God says. You know, we all know that we're all sinners. Let's be honest. I am. We all are. Everybody listening to me, if you're of any accountable age, you've broken God's laws. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous. Not a one of us. We know that judgment's coming. But listen to these glad tidings that God has for you now. So let's end wonderfully in the topic, is hell real or just a myth? I'm now going to show you how you can completely avoid it. You can believe in it and not go. How's that for an option? You can say hell is totally real and I'm not going. Now, isn't that a good choice? That's a wonderful choice. You see, what drives me to tell you all about this, is it that hell is, am I just trying to scare you? I want you to be afraid of going there. I don't want to scare you. Scare is like me jumping out from behind a corner going, boo. And that isn't going to do nothing but cause you to fall on the ground. I want to put a healthy fear in you of not wanting to go there, because I don't want you to go there. And I know you don't want to go. So guess what God says he'll do for you? Listen to this glad tidings God has for you. This is right from the Word of God. And if you have a Bible, I'm talking about Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Listen to this. Even though we're condemned guilty sinners on our way to hell, because hell is very real, it's not a myth. Watch this. God says he'll do this. Being justified freely. Look at that. Do you know that God says in his book, the same book that talks about hell and warns you, watch this. God has a wonderful door here for you to all your sins forgiven. He says he'll justify you freely by his grace. You know what? God will declare you right now completely justified in his eyes. You know how he can do it? He can give you his own righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid for all of your sins. That's why God can justify you freely. Eternal life and your forgiveness of your sins is a free gift. It's free. Now, you don't have to work for a gift. It's free. Being justified freely by his grace. Grace. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ leaves heaven's glory, comes down to here, goes through all of this for us. and you ask yourself, I mean, I want you to think about something and answer this to your own self. Would any one of you out there ever have thought to have asked God this in a prayer? Would any one of you have ever thought to have asked God this? Hey, you know what, God? I realize, now let's say it's before the Lord Jesus Christ even came here. You know what? Say you're an Old Testament person. You know, God, I'm a sinner. I know I've broken your laws because every time I do, I got to bring all these sacrifices, and I know it's not going to really pay for my sins, and it's just some temporary thing. But, you know, can you please just send your son down here? Can you have him leave heaven's wonder and splendor and glory and come down here and be crucified on a cross and place all the hell and lake of fire that I deserve? Can you put it on his soul? And can you then look at what his soul will go through and be satisfied with that as payment for me? And can he be my substitute? Can he just take my place? And can I then just believe in him and have his payment for sin? Can you swap out my lifetime of sin and give me his righteousness? Would you have ever thought of such a prayer? No. No way. That is why the Bible says, God, now unto him, listen to this great thing about God, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Look at that. Did you know? We never would have thought to have asked or even thought of asking God to have done such a thing. But he did it anyways. As the old hymn writer says, he looked beyond my faults and saw my need. You see that? Beyond all of our sin, he sees your need. And he loved us first when we were enemies of his. So he sends his son, and his son hangs there crucified, writhing in pain for you, the individual listener. What's your name? Think about your name. He died for you. Do you see that? So God says he'll justify you freely. It's by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ redeemed you at the cross. He went there and paid the price for all of your sins. Every single one of them. Your entire lifetime. All of them. I mean, think about it. How many of your sins were future when he died? From the point of when he died. They were all future. So he paid for all of your sins. He knew everything you would do wrong, everything wrong with you. And he paid the price to God. And then it says in verse 25 of Romans 3, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. God is setting forth to you now in this wonderful message of this great book. Yes, this book that talks about hell, it also talks about heaven. And whom God hath set forth, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation. You know what he's telling you? He says, God says, I'm setting forth to you right now, my son, to be sin for you. I'm telling you, this is God talking in the Bible now. I'm not talking, I'm just reading it. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. A propitiation just simply means he was made sin for you. The Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for you. And it says through faith in his blood. That means that God believes the blood of Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins. That's what God believes. Okay? That's what he fully believes. Now, what would a wise man, woman, or child of an accountable age believe? A wise man believes what God believes. A wise woman believes what God believes. A wise child who's old enough to understand believes what God believes. And God's telling you in the Bible that he believes the blood of Jesus Christ, his marvelous son, paid for all of your sins. I'm asking you, won't you please believe that? You have free will. Why not believe that? Why not believe in the blood of Christ as the payment for your sins? Now, that's great. So I'm asking you to do that. And if you've done that, if you want to be then saved from hell, so you won't ever even have to worry about it. You won't even have to worry about, is it real? Is it a myth? Or what's going on with it? You won't have to be confused, because I guarantee you this, as soon as you believe what I'm telling you, you will experience what the Bible calls blessedness. You will have such relief, and peace and joy will flood your soul. Your guilty soul that needs to be cleansed, that will be washed, that will be regenerated by faith. What does God tell you to do then after you've believed this message? If you've believed this message I just told you about Christ and what he did for you, because hell was very real to him because Jesus Christ took all of your hell at the cross. All God asks you to do is this now in verse 26 of Romans 3. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Those three words. God will justify you of your entire lifetime of sin when you simply believe in Jesus. That means to believe in Jesus means you trust in him completely, fully persuaded, no doubts. You bet the farm. You put it all on him. You believe in him to save you. And he can, because why? Your faith is in his blood. Because when he died at Calvary, he was dying for you. So let's sum it up now. Is hell real or just a myth? Well, it is real. Now I'm begging you to avoid it. Okay? It's not a myth. So I've answered the question. It's not a myth. And I want you to be saved from it. I don't want you to go there. Don't be offended. Don't think you can bring something to God that will satisfy him. Don't think you can go out and do all these good works now to make him happy, because if you could do enough works to make him happy, his son wouldn't be hanging there crucified. Okay? God knows we couldn't do enough. God knows we've already broken his laws. I mean, think about it. If you broke man's laws, you can't go to court and say all the good you've done. You still got to pay for your crimes. So even if you live perfectly from this day forward, you still have time past sins to give account for. And it only takes one sin to put you in hell. One. Because God's perfect and he demands you to be perfect if you ever want to see heaven. Do you understand? And as that beautiful music plays, take your free will right now and ask yourself, do I really want to take this chance? Is hell real or just a myth? I don't beat people over the head with the Bible. I try to convince them of its wonderful truth and the love it contains. If you believe in Jesus, I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He doesn't want to see you to go to hell, okay? Nor do I. The only one who wants you to go is the devil. Hell is very real, but you can avoid it completely. What do you got to do? Two things. You got to place your faith in the blood of Christ as the payment for your sins. And once you do that, then you just got to, by faith, believe in Jesus. You got to trust in him to save you. He's the only one who can, because he took all of your hell for you at the cross. Okay? So let's get that issue settled. And let's move forward now and learn about the glory of all the heaven he has for you as a believer. Farewell.